produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, praise the Lord, and today again, we are looking forward to another reading and study of God's Word. I always get so excited when we can read God's Word, and I always read it with a view of what nuggets can I get out of it today, what revelation can I get. You know, you can read the same scripture so many times and still get fresh nuggets and a fresh word out of it. And I know even in my life, the Lord has had me preach the same message. Sometimes I've preached some messages, the same message over years, more than 20 years, more than 20 times. And each time it comes out with a different flavor, with a different emphasis, with different revelation. So the Word of God is always fresh. It's powerful. It's a two-edged sword. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a hammer. It's got so many sides to it, so many aspects to it, revelatory sides. And always when you read the Word of God, ask God to, ask Holy Spirit to give you revelation. You have to read the Word of God through the eyes of His Spirit. Otherwise, you will miss a lot of what is being said if you try and read it in a dry fashion, and or if you try and read it in a legalistic way. You will not get the real truth, the revelatory truth of what it contains. So it's always very, very exciting just to get a chance to read the Word, meditate upon it, and digest it. You know, the instructions that God gave to Ezekiel. He said to Ezekiel, He said, eat the scroll. Eat the scroll when God was giving Ezekiel a mandate. I just love Ezekiel because I identify very closely with Ezekiel. When God began to speak to me many, many years ago, over 20 years ago, about the office that He called me into, one of the offices, which is the prophetic office, along with the apostolic office, God spoke to me a lot about Ezekiel. And so I identify with Ezekiel a lot because He told Ezekiel, He said, Ezekiel, listen, the people I'm sending you to, they are stubborn people. They are stiff-necked, which means they're rebellious. And, you know, He warned him that they will not listen. But God said to him that even in spite of that, He said, I've given you a hard forehead, a hard forehead. And prophetically, a hard forehead represents a number of things. A hard forehead means you are focused. A hard forehead also means you will not compromise. A hard forehead means that, you know, you are also fearless. So there are aspects around that hard forehead that you're focused. You're also fearless. You are a person of no compromise. And God spoke to me and said, you know, like Ezekiel, because He said to Ezekiel, don't be scared of these people. Don't be intimidated by them because I've given you a hard forehead. What we must always be careful of as prophets, which is something God spoke to me about personally. He said, don't have such a hard forehead that you break my people. So hard foreheads must be balanced with soft hearts, compassionate hearts, loving hearts, so that you can love God's people and you don't just have a hard forehead of no compromise that now is wounding to God's people. So every prophet, which is something God spoke to me about personally, He said, make sure that daughter, I give you this hard forehead of focus, hard forehead of no compromise, hard forehead of not being diluted, make sure that you balance your hard forehead with also a soft heart. And so I thank God and Holy Spirit for that revelation and for hearing His voice as He ministered to me and raised me up in the office of prophet. But yes, going back to the Word, and today I want to share a word. I was going through my messages as I was just praying to God and asking Him, what should I speak on? I was just scrolling through my messages and I came across an old message that I'd ministered and shared many, many years ago on wild gourds. And this message really resonated in my spirit. I felt like, You know, I should teach and just share on this word. There's certain principles that we can get. It's a story that comes from 2 Kings 4, and we're going to read from verses 38 to 40. It's an account that some of us may be familiar with, maybe others not so much, but people who are in the prophetic office, I know, would know this story. And there are some principles and nuggets that we can pick up for ourselves in this season. And 2 Kings 4, verses 38 to 40 reads as follows. It says, "When Elisha returned to Gilgal, there was a famine in the land. As the sons of the prophets were sitting at his feet, he said to his attendant, 'Put on the large pot and boil some stew for the sons of the prophets.'" Verse 39, "One of them went out to the field to gather herbs, and he found a wild vine from which he gathered as many wild gourds as his garment could hold. Then he came back and cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. And they poured it out for the men to eat. But when they tasted the stew, they cried out, 'There is death in the pot, O man of God!' And they could not eat it." They could not eat it. So I want to talk about this scripture. And I think this message is also very important. It's got some really good, great nuggets for people who are youthful, not necessarily just youthful in age, but you may be youthful in the Lord. It's got some good nuggets around the dangers of youthful and unknowledgeable and also unteachable ministers of the gospel. We are all called to be ministers of the gospel at some level, but we must be careful that, you know, not knowing, when you're not knowledgeable and when you have an unteachable spirit, it can just be so dangerous, not only for us, but it can be dangerous for others. So this is an account of sons of prophets. So one of the first things I want to talk about and mention is that this was a team. The sons of prophet were a team. They were seated together and they were seated at Elisha's feet. Elisha was their mentor. Elisha was their teacher. Elisha the prophet, you know, who himself was mentored also by Elijah. And, you know, last week I did a session on mentoring and being mentored, and it's always very important that you be mentored and that you also mentor. And I shared on some sharings around how to select mentors and the importance of having mentors in your life. Mentoring is a biblical principle, which many people don't actually subscribe to, but it is very biblical. And sometimes when we try and apply mentoring and mentorship in our lives, we use corporate or worldly principles, and we have to be very careful about that. So these were sons of prophets, and they were a team. And they were supposed to function together as a team. However, and they were still in training. They were being trained by Elisha. And it's very important. You know, there are dynamics to the team. And if you are in leadership, you know, in ministry, and also one of the leaders, it's very important to be aware of team dynamics. One of the things that I've picked up over my life over the years is that there are certain team dynamics, and you always want to encourage people to work together as a group, to work together as a family. And that's why one of the things we do is Global Forum for Women Entrepreneurs is always encourage relationship. Those who, you know, serve along with me in GFWE and in other networks will always know that I'm always encouraging us to work together as a team, as a family. I'm always trying to encourage us to be relational, because the dynamics, kingdom dynamics, require us to function together as a team. There's no such thing as working together as one person. I've worked with many, many different networks, and many networks, you'll find that there's that one person who wants to stand out. Rather than functioning together as a team, they want to rather use people in a Nimrodic or Babylonian way just to build their platform. And so the way we function together as a team. And oftentimes I would love when we have meetings and events that we have different people sharing. So it's not just one person sharing, but there are a number of people also getting involved and sharing, so that the fullness of what we all bring, our different diversified and different giftings, can be manifested. So this, the sons of prophets were supposed to be a team. They were supposed to be function as a team. They were still in training, being trained by Elijah. But in verse 39, we read, it says, one of them went out to the field to gather herbs. One of them. So this was not a team of them going out. So one of the first principles that we get from this, I want to talk about, is that one of them breaks ranks from the others. They break ranks. So they didn't go out together as a team to gather herbs. This is one son of prophet who decides to go out on his own, do his own thing. And I want to share with you as ministries and networks that, you know what? There will always be that one person, or even more than one, it could be one or two, that one person who breaks ranks from others. There will always be that one person who thinks they know better than others, or they're too good, or they're too clever, or, you know, things are not happening here, so let me go and do my own thing, and I have special ideas. So every ministry, every network will always have that one or two people who will break rank, and instead of being part of a teamwork, doing things in a collective, united in agenda, united in one accord, there'll always be that one person who will break rank and go out to the field to gather herbs, do that thing which was not part of the mandate, do that thing which was not part of the discussion, part of the agenda. And that person often will also, that same person who's breaking rank, or people, couple of people who are breaking rank, will often also have an unteachable spirit. They're also usually identifiable by the fact that they have unteachable spirits. Now, the mandate that was given was to all of them was to say, put on a large pot and boil the stew. And what this one who broke rank went to do, it was not part of the mandate. It was not part of the mandate. And we're not saying that, look, if God speaks to you in a certain way, if God speaks to you in a certain way, that you cannot follow his spirit. I always encourage people to follow the leading of the spirit. But you also have to be careful of that one person, two people who break rank and have an unteachable spirit and want to do their own thing. And many times in doing their own thing, they will also try and convince others to break rank and convince others to do their own thing. So as a ministry, as a family, one always wants to guard against that spirit of wanting to do their own thing. And the second thing that we pick up from verse 39, from this whole scripture and this whole scriptural account, is that this son of prophet who is identified in 39, and what's interesting, you know, there's no name, we don't know what his name was. And that often will happen. A lot of people sometimes who try to distinguish themselves and make a name for themselves with the spirit of Nimrod, because Nimrod was that person who was trying to build to make a name for himself. So interestingly enough, this one who broke rank and did his own thing with an agenda of wanting to make a name for himself actually ended up nameless. And so, you know, one of the things I've learned in my years of ministry, God spoke to Abraham and he said to Abraham, I will make your name great. So we are not to pursue greatness and pursue making our own names great, but we are actually to pursue, you know, the kingdom. That's what the mandate is in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then it is God who makes your name great. God spoke to Abraham, said, it's me. I will make your name great, and it's not for our sake, but it's for God's sake, that God will begin to open platforms. God will begin to open doors for you to express the kingdom of God, not for you and I to brag about, not for you and I to boast, not for you and I, you know, to oppress others or to abuse others, but for you and I, so that we can become platforms of his kingdom expression, expressing God, expressing his ways, expressing kingdom protocols and principles and standards, expressing the kingdom blueprints out there. So this one breaks ranks. He goes out to do what was not part of the mandate. He has an unteachable spirit. He goes and gathers wild gourds from a wild vine. This is prophetically, if you know what the scripture is saying, it's actually talking about his rebelliousness. So the fact that he gathered wild gourds and a wild vine is a symbol of rebellion. So the wildness, it keeps emphasizing the wildness. Wildness is talking of rebellion. Wildness is symbolizing a rebellious spirit. And my prayer for you and I is that as God uses us to build his networks, as God uses us to build and release his kingdom protocols, that we will not become wild gourds. We will not be going to look for wild vines. We will not reflect rebellion. We will not have that unteachable spirit. We will not be those who break rank, you know, because we want to distinguish ourselves or because we think we're better than anybody else, but that God will gather us and connect us in a family way so we can become united in one accord, each of us serving God and serving in the ministry with a view and with a perspective of wanting to lift Yeshua and lift up his name, not with a view of wanting to make a name for ourselves. So here's this one. He's gathering wild gourds from a wild vine. He's rebellious. This is a symbol of rebellion. And this is somebody who thought he knew what he was doing. But in actual fact, we find out that he actually didn't know what he was doing. He had no idea of what he was doing. And this is often the case we find with people who have an unteachable spirit, people who are rebellious. They think they know what they're doing. Many of them think that they know better than everybody else, that, and many of them will come to a place where they're like, okay, I know enough. Now I'm fine. I'm good. I don't need anybody. I don't need you. I'm going to make my own way. And this is a picture of this guy here. He went out. He's like, okay, you all can just cook your pot out there, but I know better. I know what I'm doing. And you know, that spirit of pride, that spirit of know-it-all, that spirit of I know more and better, and I'm on a greater path, actually almost not only almost killed him, but almost killed others as well. And sometimes when we step out in that pride and that arrogance of thinking we know better, we put ourselves in danger and we put others in danger because we go and collect that which is not good for us. We go and collect that which endangers our lives. So it's very important to really submit ourselves to be part of the corporate presbytery and make sure that we are in a network and amongst a group of people that are being spirit-led, led by God's spirit, and together fulfilling kingdom vision and kingdom mandate. Another thing that I picked up in reading the scripture is that it says in verse 39, it says that his garment was full. His garment was full. It says that one of them went out to the field to gather herbs. He found a wild vine from which he gathered as many wild gourds as his garment could hold. Then he came back and cut them up into the pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. So he took over. Not only did he gather wild vines and wild gourds, but it said as many as his garment could hold. So his garment was full. He had gathered a lot of these wild gourds. He had gathered a lot of these wild vines from these wild vines. And it says that his garment was full. So his garment was full. He had gathered a lot, but it was of the wrong quality. What he gathered was not fit for consumption. Sometimes we can go out there and we can gather a lot of information and we can think that our garments are full, but the quality of that information is not the right information. And I know this especially for myself as somebody who has worked in the corporate environment for more than 3 decades. I know that there's a lot of information out there that looks good, that we can think it's of the right quality, but it's not of the right quality. Our garments can look full, may look like, oh, I'm getting all this information. I'm going to all these meetings. I'm going to all these, I'm part of all these networks. And it may look like your garment is full with knowledge. Your garment is full of information. But I want us to ask ourselves that question. Are you gathering secular teachings? Are you gathering humanistic teachings? Or are you gathering the word of God? Because many of these corporate places are just bringing in Babylonian teachings, are just bringing in Egyptian teachings. And so our responsibility is not to be gathering in information out there that will pollute our minds and pervert our spirits. Some of that information is wild gourd information that is toxic, that will actually contaminate our spirit. So be careful as you go out there. What are you gathering? That's the question I want to put to you out there. What are you gathering? Are you gathering information that is biblical, information that is kingdom aligned, information that is based on his word? Or are you gathering wild gourds and it's looking like your garment is full, but in actual fact, you are just gathering stuff of wrong quality, and what you're gathering is not fit for consumption for a son of God, for a believer. So what are you gathering? Ask yourself, do a review, conduct a study of your life, examine yourself, ask Holy Spirit to examine yourself and ask yourself, what am I gathering? Is it fit for consumption? Is this something that can be shared with other people? Is it perverting my spirit? Is it polluting my mind? What am I gathering? What am I gathering? So it's very, very important. Your garment may look like it's full, and associations are key. This is somebody who went out there, was not associated with anybody. He went out there on his own lone journey out there. So it's very important, beloveds. Let us not gather wild gourds. Let us not gather wild gourds. And wherever you are, in whatever place you are, in whatever network you are, always ask yourself, what is being served? Is it possible that wild gourds may be served? Always ask yourself, is it fit for consumption? Is what is being served, is it fit for consumption? Always ask yourself, you know, and interrogate the word that is being brought. Is this word a word that is fit for consumption? Or is this a wild gourd word? Is this a word that is toxic? Is this a word that will contaminate my spirit? Is this a word that will pervert my thoughts? Is this a word that will lead me down the wrong path? Is this a word that will take me out of my pursuit of the kingdom and focus me on secular humanistic ways? Is this a word that will launch me in the world but take me out of the kingdom? Is this a word? Wow, that's straight from the Holy Spirit. He said, is this a word? He said, ask them. Is this a word that will launch me in the world, onto the world platform, but take me out of the kingdom of God? Oh, Father, we thank you for that word. And that's just a prayer point right there, that I pray that you and I will pray that, Lord, let not anything take me out. Let me not be taken out by things that look attractive, but they are wild gourds, by things that look like they're launching me, but they're taking me out of the kingdom. I pray that this will not happen to you and I. So, you know, we have to interrogate that what is being served. Is it wild gourds? Is it fit for consumption? Interrogate what is being taught. Is it aligned with the kingdom blueprints and kingdom spirit? Interrogate the spirit of whatever is being released. What is the spirit behind? 1 John 4:1 is an instruction. It's not a recommendation. It's not a proposal. It's an instruction. We are to test the spirit. Interrogate the spirit that is behind the serving, whatever is being served. Test that spirit. That's what 1 John 4:1 says. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out in the world." So it's very, very important, beloveds. It's very, very important. This son of the prophet, he thought he was gathering something, you know, some knowledge, some information. It could be knowledge or information. He thought he was gathering some herbs which were going to be part of the cooking, but really what he was gathering was death. He was gathering death. And, you know, sometimes we go out there, we think we're gathering something that we're going to use, and all we're doing is gathering death. Now, you know, when the Bible talks about death, somebody may be saying, "Oh, I'm not going to die. It's not going to kill me." Sometimes the death that's being referred to is not necessarily physical death. It could be death to our spirit. It could be gathering death to our destiny. It could be gathering death to our future. All those issues could be around gathering death. So be careful of what you gather out there. Be careful you don't break rank. Be careful you don't start developing an unteachable spirit and going out there on your lone exercise to go out there to gather death. It may not necessarily be physical death, but it may be a spiritual death. So this person, all the sons of prophets were instructed to cook, but this son of the prophet decided to put the herbs himself in the stew, didn't obey instruction, unteachable and rebellious spirit. And the last few things that I want to touch on is the aspect of the field. The son of the prophet went to the field to gather these wild herbs, to get these wild vines, to get these wild gourds. He got the ingredient for the soup, for the stew from the field. And field is actually, if you look for the Hebrew word for field, the Hebrew word for field is sadeh, S-A-D-E-H. It refers to an open, uncultivated area of land. And in that place, you can only find that which grows wild. So he went into the field where it was just gathering wild things. And in the scripture, the field represents the world. It represents the world. So he was really going out into the world. And Romans 12:2 admonishes us that and tells us not to be conformed to the world, but it says that we must be transformed. And that transformation comes through the renewal of our minds so that we can now perform the acceptable, good and acceptable will of God. So when we go out into the field to gather wild gourds, we are not able to fulfill the good, acceptable will of God, because our minds cannot be transformed. When you go out to the world and gather wild gourds of secular humanistic teachings that are there to position you in an erotic way, in a Babylonian way, then we now start conforming to the world instead of being aligned with the kingdom of God principles. So the son of prophet went into the world. He brought back things from the world, and he was bringing back poisonous herbs, and because he was not trained fully, he was not even able to identify that these herbs were poisonous. He separated himself from the rest of the group, separated himself from godly teachings. And because he was untrained, he was not able to realize that these herbs were poisonous. Beloveds, the world is full of poisonous ideas. They look harmless sometimes. They may even look and resemble the truth, but many of them are bitter. They bring death. They bring sorrow. And for us to be able to recognize this, it's important that we be trained, in the Word of God, and in training, being trained of the Word of God, so that we in turn may equip others in truth. This is what Paul said to Timothy, and he said it to him in 2 Timothy 2:2. And he said, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So we have to gather good herbs, herbs that will add aroma to the stew, not herbs that will kill people. Gather good knowledge, biblical knowledge, biblically based knowledge, not secular humanistic teachings that just are focused on mammon, focused on making money, focused on making names for ourselves. So let us be careful of going out into the field, going out into the world, which is full of poisonous ideas and poisonous solutions to life. Let us make sure that we are people who are trained and have a discriminating spiritual ear, a discriminating spiritual eye, that we can identify things, worldly things that may sound and look good, but are full of death and misery. And so praise the Lord. It's great that the sons of prophets, the scripture tells us that the sons of prophet cried out to the man of God. They cried out and they said, man of God, you know, man of God, they cried out to him. And I want to just encourage us, each and every one of us, that let us make sure that we're always crying out to God, because only God has the antidote to death, and only God has the antidote to toxic things, and he carries life. Yeshua came that we might have life and have it more in abundance. So praise God. I pray that you've been ministered to by this word. Let us not go out and gather wild gourds. Let us not go out into the field to bring worldly, secular, humanistic teachings, but let us go out there, be part of a team, make sure that we have a teachable spirit, that we don't operate in rebellion, but functioning together as a team, serving as a team in one accord with one language, so that we can make sure we prepare a stew that is edible, a stew that will bless many, a stew that can be served and will bless and minister to many. God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Jimmy Cotton Ministries Radio Network and our co-producer, Kayla Paget, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyo. Here is a service that we conducted in our Sunday service on the 27th of February, 2022. In light of what's happening already around in our world, I'm pretty sure that you will agree with me. The hour demands Christians who pray. The hour demands men and women that will call upon the name of the Lord. So join us in the service in progress as we build line upon line, precept upon precept in the word of God, what God's desire is for your life. Join us, service in progress.
The words of the Apostle Paul through the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1, it declares, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority. The reason? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Therefore, I exhort first of all, before you talk about it, before you complain about it, before you whinge about it, before you get scared about it, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority. I want us to pray for Ukraine right now, and I want us to pray for Russia. I want us to pray for those two countries. The Bible says, for kings and all who are in authority. When we pray, when we make intercessions, when we supplicate for all people, for kings and for all those who are in authority, the Bible says, the result is you and I will lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. If we don't pray, if we don't supplicate, if we don't intercede, you and I will live in fear. That's just the truth. what's going on right now between Russia and Ukraine, I believe it's a calling for you and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, who understand spiritual warfare, who understand what's happening in the spirit world. God says, I exhort first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all people, for kings and all who are in authority. Because those who are in authority, they determine the peace that you need to have here in Australia. What's happening in Ukraine is not happening in Australia. But I can tell you it is affecting you right now. It's affecting me right now. But what is our calling? Yes, the Church of Jesus Christ is for us to pray, to supplicate, and give thanks. And the Bible says, for all those that are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. For his desire, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Allow me, therefore, to stand up where you are seated right now to begin to intercede. Pray in tongues. I want you to pray in tongues. I want you to get into a good space of praying. Let's pray for what's happening in Ukraine, what's happening in Russia. Pray for President Putin and whatever is going on in his head. But I want us to pray. The Bible says our peace is determined by that. Begin to pray for the peace of God's people. There are innocent lives that are dying. There are babies that are being killed. There are a lot of buildings that are being destroyed. But what is our responsibility as a church? It is not to complain about it. It's not to whinge about it. But it's to pray about it. Come on, church. Get into prayer mode. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Just intercede with me. Intercede with me. Intercede with me. Pray for the peace. Pray for the peace of Ukraine. Pray for the peace in the name of Jesus. We pray that whatever the responsibility of the United Nations, what they need to do, or the NATO, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we pray for peace, for your desire that all men live a quiet and peaceable life in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that God, you bring your peace, you bring your peace, you bring your peace in these nations in Jesus' mighty name. We pray innocent families, innocent children that are being displaced right now, families that are losing their homes, that are innocent. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, our responsibility as the Church of Jesus Christ is to stand together in unity and we declare the peace and shalom of God in Jesus' mighty name. We pray into that space right now in the name of Jesus. Against every vengeance, against every spirit of revenge, in the name of Jesus. Lord, intervene. What government can do, you are able to do it right now. We give you honor and give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. We give you praise and we thank you for what you're doing and building, even in the lives of your people. Glory and honor be to your name. In Jesus' mighty name. You agree with me that prayer, shout and say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. That's a proper response that God always calls us to whenever there is problems of this nature in the world around us. We don't get involved in the politics thereof, but our responsibility is to pray for peace in the world in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, worship team. And thank you, Shelley, for that wonderful word that you brought forth. In Jesus' name. Let's give them a big hand together. My assignment becomes very, very simple and small. So I want to make sure that I give you three words that I want you to write down, even right now, in Jesus' name. Three important words. If you understand these words, they encapsulate all the troubles that you go through in life as a child of God. Every problem that you ever go through as a child of God, it is shaped around these three words. How many?
Three.
Yeah, that's right. These three words are key. If you understand them in your Christian life, especially in the days that we're living right now, you and I shall see the breakthrough of God over our lives. Does it do that? My verse of scripture I want to use the verse that was used by our pastor last week, Pastor Bush, when he preached here on Matthew chapter 14. And I want us to see that and see what God wants to do in our lives very quickly before I release you in Jesus' name. I want to welcome everyone that is here today. I've got a report. Most of our partners or members in DCC, either they're in isolation, they're quarantining, and either their children have been affected by this virus. That is why most of our members are not here. But we thank God that these are days where you and I need to continue with what God has given us when we have this opportunity of gathering together. So we remember them. And many of them today that are not here, that we got messages that could not be here together with us. And therefore, to our online family, those that are watching with us, we pray that God will continue to be with you and bless you as we continue together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to welcome you, Brother Dennis. Thank you. Thank you for coming back in Jesus' name. Brother Collins, I saw you somewhere there. Love you. Oh, so difficult to see you behind the masses across here. I'm trying. You're welcome. I think you're moving boys one minute. That's right. Thank you so much. Thank you once again. And we continue to grow together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Matthew chapter 14. That's where I want us to go there right now. Just give me those three words that are very, very important. The Bible begins by saying, from verse 19, it's a story that you already know. Jesus Christ has finished feeding the 5,000. It says, he commanded the multitudes. Chapter 14 of the book of Matthew, verse 19. Jesus commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave the multitudes. They all ate, and they were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. These words, when you read them, it gives you hope to know that logically in our minds, that which we've been taught mathematically, you add something to something, it becomes more. But when you walk with Christ in this kingdom, you begin to learn just from that little passage that I've read there, is that it's only God who can begin with the negative and you will end with a positive. You got that? That logically, in our world, that what they taught you, it meant 1 + 1 = 2. But you see, when you walk with God, you realize you can start with a minus.
Yeah.
Baffles what the mathematicians will say to you, because he's the one who defines our life. There is no way you can start with a minus and you end up with a plus. But in God's way of operative, he takes 2 fishes and 5 loaves and he feeds 5,000. How does that work? Because his name is God. So you and I, you can become and be at peace in knowing whatever is going on in my life right now, no matter how negative it seems to be, if I continue to stick with what God has said to me, I will end up on a positive. Do you get that?
Yes.
So I want you to get that. It's just a powerful thing that I want you to get. I want to give you some little pithy things that I believe can help us when we go home. The Bible says, not only did he begin with less and ended up with more, but the Bible says there was extras. Because 12 baskets of fragments of the extras were gathered together. Only when you walk with God, you can start with the small and start with the less, or start with the negative. You will end up with more. Not only do you end up with more, it will be such to the fact that there is the extras, fragments, 12 baskets more. That tells you that all the disciples, what they were doing, it was almost like God was saying, I'm going to give you each basket for each disciple, extra, to teach you a lesson. That if you walk with me, don't worry about the negatives around you. Because at the end of the day, I will be glorified because my name is Jehovah God. Somebody shout, yes. Verse 22, then it says, immediately he made them to go into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there praying. So principle number 2 that I want you to write there is the fact that when Jesus had done this miracle, we have found out in the first instance that you can begin on a negative, but if you continue to walk with God and trust him, pray. I don't have to know it all, but if I trust your God, that with this negative, something more is going to be produced and I'm going to end on a winning side. That's a good point. But number 2 is also for me to know that he sends oftentimes his people. He sends his disciples, 12 of them. They've just experienced a big miracle. They've experienced a big what?
Miracle.
All right. And the experience of the big miracle that they've experienced, Jesus sends them to go over to the other side. As they go over to the other side, they watch him as he remains. And I'm sure Jesus is saying goodbye to them. You know, sometimes when you walk in life, all you have to depend upon is his word. You stick with what God has said. Jesus says goodbye to them as they go. And they are rowing their boat going to the other side. They are rowing their boat going where?
Yes,
up to me. They are rowing their boat going where?
Yes,
answer me now. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Come and talk to me. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Oh, but not behind them. Come on. Where is Jesus? Where are they going? To the other side. Where is Jesus? Behind them. Where is he where are they going? To the other side. In your life, there'll be times where God says, go. When you look in the physical, in your boat of life, you can't see him. You can't touch him. Where did you leave him? Somebody said behind.
Yeah.
But you see, where you left him, that's not where he is.
Okay.
Stay with me. Physically, they left him where? Behind. They are going on his word. All they have is his word. They don't have feelings. All they have is his word. Because we know we get into services oftentimes, into atmospheres, into prayer meetings. Oh, God was there. I felt the power. You know, my hands were tingling. But there are times the tingling sensation won't be there. There are times the hoochie-coochie is not there. There are times the good dance is not there. There are times you don't feel him. But you see, all you have to hold on to is the word that he gave you. Go over before me to the other side. When you look behind, I left you behind, but no, he's no longer behind because he's a God who can speak his word. He back up his word so that his word is as good as his presence. So I don't have to depend on how I feel, what I see, because the fact that I don't see him does not mean he's not there, because his word was, go over before me to the other side. But Josh, what are you talking about? Because when I look behind, he said goodbye to me. Are you prepared to go on his word, even though you don't feel him? Because if you learn to walk with him, when you don't feel him, when you don't sense him, when you can't touch him, it will help you to keep on moving. Keep on rowing your boat. So you don't understand sometimes in tears. Keep on rowing your boat. You don't understand they are now deserting me. Keep on rowing the boat. You don't understand everybody seems to be against me. Keep on rowing your boat. But sometimes in my rowing of the boat, I'm rowing my boat against the waves that are hitting against me. Sometimes they don't like me. Sometimes they don't understand me. Sometimes at work, I'm about to lose my job. Sometimes I hear my company is about to go into liquidation. What do I do? Keep on rowing the boat. Keep on rowing your boat. Keep on rowing your boat. Sometimes in pain. Sometimes in sickness. But you keep on rowing your boat, because the fact that you don't feel him then does not mean he's not there. Imagine somebody. What the Bible says. They rowed their boat going to another side. And when they reached the place called the middle, and they always say everybody is where the middle. A middle is a space that can be very tricky. I call it the middle because the middle can present, you can have different kinds of storms one day. The middle. The middle is that space where you know it started well in peace, but the middle brings a lot of confusion. You are staying this marriage together. The middle. It's the middle. You can't define the middle. But all I can tell you, he who says to them, go over to the other side, and I will find you there. All they have is what he said. Can you stick with the word that God gave you, even though your middle says you are now broke? I can't marry the two. God says, follow me. My God shall supply all of my needs. Philippians 4, verse 19. According to my riches in glory. That was God who said that. My God shall supply, Philippians 4, verse 19, all of my needs, not some of them, not spirituals only, not emotionals only, not only those to do with my health. God says, all of my needs are going to be supplied by God. But what do I do when what he said there doesn't match with my middle? Because it says there, where are you in hunger for me? Oh, go there, where we, just in the forest, go listen, and then this is what it says there. Where are you? It says there. But the pot was now where?
You thought it was my word, didn't you?
That was from the middle. I'm choosing sports, the middle. I know. Because the middle can confuse you to such an extent that you will have a choice of equal proportion to go back or to go forward. Come from the middle. Because it's a halfway. It's like a halfway center. It's where you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Go back. Same distance. Go forward. Same distance. What do I do? The boat was now tossed to and fro. I'm going to be suffering right now. Who is experiencing the major? Decisions need to be made. What do I do? That's the time you need to remember what you are saying.
Come on, we are
because if you don't hold on to what is said here, the middle will destroy you.
Yeah.
There are a lot of Christians,
watch this now,
who are destroyed by the middle. Not because the middle wanted to destroy them, but because they allowed the middle to dictate their middle. And as a result, the middle becomes louder in voice than the word that was spoken here. Because the voice that speaks louder wins. The middle. It's like you're singing. And you don't know, it's that day where it's like the pain, sickness of the coronavirus has gone to the cat, has gone to the dog, has gone to everybody. It's like confused in the middle. But all you have, you choose what you are now listening here logically. The word that is said, go before me.
Yeah,
oh, my dear God, I love this. Go before me. I'll see you on the other side. So the only thing that I need to remember is that when the middle confuses me, I should always go back to what he said.
Yeah.
Because if I go back to what he said, it will give me motivation for me to continue. So here are those three words that I want to give you right now that you meet in life. All your troubles are encapsulated with three words. Word number one is storms. Storms. Up there, you know, for them, because I want them to get that. Storms. Storms. Give them that word right there for them. Storms. Storms. S-T-O-R-M-S. Give my girl a break, she's working hard.
Yeah.
Someone talk storms. I can't hear you just said this morning. Shout again, storms.
Storms.
What are storms? Now, see, in the theology of storms, you will find out there are different categories of storms, but the main ones are two. There's what I call corrective storms. You know the story of Jonah?
Yeah.
Those are storms to correct you going back to the assignment that God has called you to. But generally, there are storms that come into our lives, and these are storms, and I'm going to give you a definition of storms here, because storms is a temporary season of inconvenience.
Yeah.
Intended to be used by the devil. Write it for them in English. Okay. I know, my dear. I know. Let those fingers tuck down. I want them to get this before they go home. It's a temporary season. The key word being temporary. What's the key word?
Temporary.
We are defining for you the middle right now. It's a temporary season of inconvenience. It is intended by the devil for us to use our impulses so that what ends up destroying us, it's not the storm, but it's the impulses. It is what we have now come up with because of the devil. So, what are storms? Storms, a temporary season of inconvenience. It is intended by the devil to destroy you, to sink you. It's intended by the devil to sink you.
Yeah.
So that you start using your impulses, your logic comes into play. So that what destroys you is not the storm. It is your decisions that you decided in the storm.
Join us once again next week, part two. We define storms as temporary seasons intended to destroy you so that you use your logic in the process, so that what destroys you is not the storm after all, because Jesus walked on the storm. Peter sank in the storm after he walked on the sunstorm. Logic. Chimikoti Ministries Radio Network. Join us once again next week as we continue Line Up Online in the Word of God.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.